We're going to start here on the top of Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the machloket, actually a three-way machloket with regards to Shnayim She'asu, when two people participate in doing melacha on Shabbat. So here we have the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you're always chayav. Whether you are a contributing member, you were necessary or not necessary here, you're always chayav according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon has the opposite opinion, which is that you are always patur. Whether it's Zeyachol v'Zeyachol or Zeynochol Zeynoyachol, both times you are patur according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda has the middle position, which is that when you couldn't have done it yourself, when you would have been unable to carry out the malacha yourself and the two of you do it together, there you will be chayav. On the other hand, if you do it in a case where both of you could have accomplished the malacha by yourselves and you do it together, there you will be patur. That is what Rabbi Yehuda says. The reason writing Rabbi Yehuda, I mentioned yesterday that the Gemara formulates the position of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon differently. Both the Ritva and the Rashba say that it's just a difference in Lashon, there's no real difference between them. Rabbi Chaim, on the other hand, picks up on that nuance and the difference, the way that it's formulated for Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, or he says they both apply to Rabbi Yehuda. He says that there are actually two dinim in Shnayim She'asu, which is, number one, the drasha that Yachid She'asau, Velo Shnayim She'asau. It has to be an individual. A single individual does the malacha, not two individuals. And there's a second malacha, which is you have to do kula velo miktzata. You have to do the entire malacha, and not a portion of the malacha. As far as what is the logic behind the Shnayim She'asua, two ways to formulate this, to say why Shnayim She'asu, when Zeino Yachol, V'Zeino Yachol, when each one of them independently is unable to accomplish the malacha that you're chayav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is either because, as the Rambam says, each person did b'chol kocho, each person did the maximum amount they could have done in this situation. Since they maximized what they could have done in this situation, they're culpable because they did pula. They did what they could have done. They did kol asher yuchol lasot.
For them.
Right. They did anything they could have done. So that's one way to look at it. That's the way the Rambam seems to formulate it. The other way to say it is that the Torah says you have to do kol ha-melacha or kula. When you do the maximum of what you can do in a situation, we can say achshavei. The Torah considers it if you did the whole melacha, because you did all that you could in this situation. And not because of that you've done kol ha-melacha, but rather, the Torah then applies the principle of achshavei, that we consider as if you did the entire melacha, and because of that, you will be held culpable. So those are the two ways to view that position of Rabbi Yehuda. The Sri Deish actually gives a nice explanation of the difference between Zeyachol v'Zeyachol and Zeynochol v'Zeynoyachol. What's the difference in the position of Rabbi Yehuda? He says, "Shebezeyachol v'Zeyachol nitzarech la'atil shnei chiyuvim ha'malacha achat." Trying to generate two culpabilities from a single malacha. V'zelo motzino, that we can't do. V'akochach anu mechalkim et achiyuv, and if we divide the culpability and we put it on each party, then each party only has a chatzi chiyuv. And that the pasuk says, you're not culpable for it because you have to be osev kula, lo osev miksata. But when a case of zeinu yachol v'zeinu yachol, they couldn't have done it themselves. Shishneim nishtatfu l'maaseh aveira. They were both participants in the maaseh aveira achat. Inat tzurchim la'atil yoter michiyuv echad. Over there, we don't have to come up with more than one culpability, oto aveira. There's one on violation. But there are two people who generate the chiyuv. We find this in other places where there are two parties who join together to create a single ma'aseh aveira, like Adim Zomimim or Shnayim Sheganvu, that they're both chayav, even though there's only one aveira. And what's the logical difference between them? Who? Pashut. It's very simple. Each one of them does the maaseh aveira for themselves. Doesn't need the other person. Therefore, they cannot be partners. We can't look at them as a single entity towards this single violation. And therefore, if we want to be mechayev, both of them, we have to split the aveira in half, and that doesn't work. But in the case of ze'enu yochol, it's as if they become like a corporate entity. They become a single entity that violated a single isur. Now, they need that entity, because without that entity, they couldn't have violated the isur. The same way that two edim become a single unit of edut, and they're only culpable when they are together. A single ed is useless. So to here, when the two of them come together, to join together, to do the maaseh aveira, there, they accomplish it together as a single group, a single entity. And it's as if the group did the aveira, but every person in the group is necessary, and they are chayavin, because each one of them is that active participant to create that entity that violated the aveira. Now the Gemara asks about 7 lines down on the top of Tzadik Gimel on Alpha, but Micah Mithligate. What is the premise of the machlok between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda? When it says, V'haikra, they're arguing about this pasuk that is found by the Chatat, V'im nefesh echat techeta bishkaga mi'am ha'aretz ba'asuta. Rabbi Shimon believes, T'late mi'ute k'tive. There are actually 3 mi'utim written in the Quran. Nefesh, techeta, achat, techeta, basuta, techeta. So basically, he sees the 3 mi'utim as nefesh, achat, and basuta. So one is chad mi'ute, ze'oker, v'zemeniach. One of them comes exclude the case where 2 parties join together to do a single malacha like carrying. One of them does the akira, the removing of the item from whatever reshut it is in. And the other one places it down in the other reshut, whether it's reshut yachid, reshut rabim. Basically, the first mission on the mesechta, where we have 2 participants, each one contributing 1/2 of the milacha. And you see in Tosafot that nobody asks about the case where one person writes a single letter, and another one writes another letter. So there you have the minimum requirement for writing on Shabbat is shtei otiot, is 2 letters. Nobody says, well, if this guy wrote 1 letter and the other guy wrote 1 letter, oh, now we have a melacha. The Gemara doesn't have a havamin about that case. That's because there is clearly what we call chatzi melacha, not chatzi shiur. It's a distinction that Rav Soloveitchik drew. You have to look carefully. Sometimes the shiurim in the melacha are telling you the amount that you have, for instance, like you have to carry. Krugo geret. Carry out a fig size. You take out less than a fixed size, it's not that you're not carrying. It's just now you're carrying something sufficient to be culpable in this case. That's called a chatzi shiur. On the other hand, sometimes the shiur defines the malacha. It's not a malacha without that shiur. So for instance, by shtei otiot, that is what's called writing. Without 2 letters, you haven't written. So if you do 1 letter, it's not that you're doing half of the writing. You've done nothing because writing requires 2 letters. So there's a difference, what he determines as the difference between chatzi shiur and chatzi malacha. That's why, as Tosfot over here just says, oh, it's a given that nobody asked about the 2 letters. That works well for what Rav Soloveitchik suggested, because by the 2 letters, everybody agrees it's chatzi malacha. Everybody agrees by the case of carrying, if you carry out a chatzi grogeret, that it's patur of alasur, because you have a chatzi shiur there that you're carrying out. The question of the Gemara relates to malacha like carrying. In carrying, you have 2 significant portions or pieces to the malacha. You have atira and you have hanacha. So that's the real question here. Is akira and hanacha a chatzi malacha? And therefore, the possibility that you would be patur, which is what the Gemara says over here, based on the miyut, or by that malacha of carrying, do we say each piece is significant enough by itself that it is considered as if you did a portion of the malacha or part of the malacha? And that's why the Gemara over here comes, achad miute, that's what they came to be miayit. Oh, is that okay? B'zeh maniach, not the case of 1 letter and the other letter. B'chad miute, the next one comes to exclude a case of zeyachol, b'zeyachol. If each one of them independently could have done it, and now they do it together, then they are turim. B'chad miute, and the third miute comes to tell you, zeh she'enu yachol, b'zeh enu yachol. When they both are unable to accomplish it individually, but together they do it. Over here, Rabbi Shimon believes that there's a miut from the pasuk that excludes them because they are not accomplishing sufficient malacha. They're not doing the whole malacha. And Rabbi Shimon is going to define the whole malacha as meaning you must do the whole malacha. None of this fancy footwork to make it that as if you did the full malacha. If you don't do the full malacha, then you are patur. And that's why Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that you're patur in all these instances, whether it's you're able to accomplish it or not accomplish it. Without the other individual, you're still patur, because I have these 3 mi'utim. V'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda comes along, obviously he disagrees. He says, Chad mi'ute zeh oker v'zeh maniach. He agrees to the first mi'ut of Rabbi Shimon, that it comes to exclude doing half the malacha of hotza. V'chad, the second one, he agrees to Rabbi Shimon as well, which is the mi'ute zeh yachol v'zeh yachol. He agrees to that fact, that if you're both capable of doing it yourself, and you do it together, that you are p'turim. And the last one comes to exclude a case of a yochid that does it with the permission of Beit Din. Permission of Beit Din is that Beit Din paskin that this is mutar, and he goes ahead and he does it based on that psak halach of Beit Din, even though they're wrong, he's still what we call an ones. He did it relying on Beit Din, and what else should he have done? He relied on Beit Din. We can't hold them culpable in that case. And that's when it comes, the miut over here is that he has to do it and not rely on Beit Din in order to do it, because then he becomes an ones. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have available the last miut, to exclude the case of Ze'enu Yachol b'Ze'enu Yachol, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda believes by Ze'enu Yachol b'Ze'enu Yachol that you are Chayav. In that case, you are culpable because he doesn't have a miut, uses it for something else. V'Rabbi Shimon, what does Rabbi Shimon do about this issue of Yachid Shasah Barat Beitin? What does he do with that? So now, the girsa that we have in our Gemara is, Rabbi Shimon, what does he do? Yachid Shasah Barat Beitin Chayav. He thinks he is Chayav. That's the girsa that Rashi indicates, and that's why it's in our Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Latame, Rabbi Shimon to his reasoning, Damar Bahoriot, Yachid Shasah Barat Beitin Chayav. And that's the girsa that we have in our Gemara based on Rashi. Tosafot disagrees and says that it's just not the case. If you look in Horiot, Rabbi Shimon is actually poter and not mechayev. So he thinks the girsa is wrong here, and that the Gemara really should say over here, Yachid Shasah Barat Beitin for Rabbi Shimon is patur, but it's for a different reason. He's tole bebeitin, and he's an anus. We don't need a specific miut to tell you that anus is patur. Anus, throughout the whole Torah, is patur. That's not something that you need that's special over here or unique to here. And so therefore, Tosafot believes that the girsa over here is incorrect. It should just say, Rabbi Shimon Yachid Shasah Barat Beitin is patur. It should leave it out entirely. One of the two, not like Rashi, who thinks that Rabbi Shimon thinks he's chayav in the Gemara in Horiot. V'Rabbi Meir, what about Rabbi Meir's opinion? So Rabbi Meir, first of all, eliminates one of the mi'utin. He says, it doesn't say, mi'tiv nefesh techeta achat techeta. Doesn't say them as separate statements. It says, nefesh achat techeta. So why are you breaking them up into two mi'utim of nefesh and achat? And therefore he combines those two to say that they are a single mi'ut. Tiv nefesh techeta achat techeta basuta techeta trei mi'ute tive. And therefore there's only two mi'utim written in the pasuk. That is, nefesh achat techeta and basuta. He agrees on the first miyut that comes to exclude the chatzi malacha by hotza'ah, like everybody did. And the second one he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda is for the mute yachid shasa barat beitin. That's to come to exclude a case where yachid relies on beitin when he does the avera. That means, according to Rabbi Meir, he has no exclusions for the case of shnayim shasua, and it makes no difference. It's irrelevant whether you can do it yourself, you were capable of doing it yourself, and you did it together with someone else, or you were incapable of doing it yourself, and you did it together with someone else. In both those cases, you will be chayav, chatat, because he doesn't have a miut to exclude those individuals in the cases of shnayim sasu. So that's important to note, because what is true here is that everybody would have agreed that by shnayim shasu, that they would have been chayav if it were not for the pasuk. You need the miut from the pasuk to come to exclude these individuals for being chayav. Otherwise, and that's what basically what Rabbi Meir's position is, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon only disagree with Rabbi Meir's because they have a miut that comes and specifically says that in these instances, you are not chayav. So had it not been for the psukim, you would have been chayav, and that's Rabbi Meir's position. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda has one miut, and Rabbi Shimon has two miutin to exclude these cases of shnayim she'asu. Now the Gemara continues, Amar Mar, ze yachol v'ze enu yachol. The case that we had in the Braita that we brought down before, a case where this individual was capable of doing it himself, and the other one is incapable. So now when they come joined together to do this, divrei hakol chayav, everybody agrees you're chayav. Hai minayu chayav. Which one of them are we going to be mechayev over here? Now, as Tosafot points out, nobody thinks that the one who did basically the malacha, and who was dependent on him, is patur. That's not an option that the Gemara is really contemplating over here. Says the Gemara is really only contemplating two options. One option is that the Zei Yachol, the one who's capable of doing it and did it, that he's Chayav, and the Zeino Yachol is Patur. Or the other option is that they're both Chayavin. That's the two options of the Gemara. Nobody would suggest that they're both Pturim. There's no reason to believe that the one who's capable of doing it, and he did the whole Malacha, that he should be Patur. So that's what he says, the formulation of the Gemara. So, Haminayu Mechayev, Am Rav Chista, Zesh Yachol is Vadai Chayav. D'i zesh eno yachol, my kovid. Basically, your question, Roni, which is, what's he doing? Amalei Rav Hamnuna, dekim aseya ba'edei. What are you talking about? He did something. He helped him out. He contributed. He made a difference here. So Amalei, meseyeya inbo mamash. Says, helping has no relevance. So over here, where, without him, or it wasn't necessary to have him here, so his help over here, right, he didn't really add anything to the mix. Therefore, we don't worry about him, or we don't consider him in the picture. Now, what's very interesting over here, Tosafot first of all points out, v'nir the ri, dayinu yachol, hainu afilu bal koach harbei. When we say that he is incapable of doing the melacha, it's not because he's physically incapable of doing the melacha. It's not because in potential he couldn't have done the melacha. It's just because of the way that he's situated in this instance that he can't do it. So, for instance, one guy is carrying the middle of the board. He's standing in the middle of the board and he could have carried it by himself. The other guy's standing at the end of the board and carrying it at the end. So had he been alone carrying it at the end of the board, he wouldn't have been able to do it no matter how strong he is, no matter how capable he is. He's just positioned along the board in the wrong place. And therefore he's deemed enu yachol. It's not an issue of potential ability to do it. Even if you have the ability to do it, it's a question of where you are situated in this instance that makes you incapable of carrying out the whole melacha. On the other hand, the other individual is in a placement where he can do the whole melacha by himself. And so that's an interesting nuance that the Ri points out, that we're not talking about a person who can't, but rather a person because of the situation cannot do it. Alright, that's number one. Number two is, we have a statement here by the Gemara, which the Gemara is going to follow up now, which is, Misayeya ein bo mamash. When you help out, when you give assistance, ein bo mamash. There's nothing to it. The problem is that we have a Gemara in Beitza and then a Gemara in Makot that both discuss this issue. The Gemara in Beitza says that if a person wants to put eye ointment into their eye on Shabbat, generally that would be considered to be a sur, to put the eye ointment in your eye on Shabbat, mishum rifu'ah, because it was doing something that is medicinal on Shabbat. Nevertheless, if you're a chole she'ein bo sakana, chole that's not in danger or life of limb, nevertheless you can have what we call amir la'akum. You can have a non-Jew do it on your behalf or help you out in this instance, which is a general principle in Shabbat, that a chol she'ein bo sakana can have an akum come along and do whatever it is that he needs to be done, if we're dealing with Isurei Derabanan at least. The Isurei Deraita, then it becomes a little more problematic, and there's a machloket there. But with Isurei Derabanan, you can do Amir Lakum to help you out by a chol she'ein bo sakana in medicinal issues. Gemara there asks a question, wait a minute. Even if you have the Akum come along and do it for you, that he is Misayeya, because you open and close your eye. You have to open your eye in order to allow the ointment to be put in, and you have to close it to make it work. The Jew who's there is a participant. He's not putting the ointment in, but his opening and closing the eye assists in the placement of the ointment and of making it work. So why don't we say over there that he should be chayav? It's interesting that the players there are Rav Zvid. In a second we're going to see Rav Zvid is a player over here. And over there, Rav Zvid and Amemar are the two players over there who are both going to be mentioned over here. And Amemar says, wait a minute, isn't he opening and closing his eye? So the response of Rav Ashi over there is, yeah, you hold like Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid says that Misayeya is a problem. But we think Misayeya ain't bo mamash. Misayeya has no benefit or no meaning, is not significant in any way. So the Gemara over there concludes the same way that our Gemara closes, which is Misayeya ain't bo mamash. There's nothing to assisting or helping. You're not considered to be an active participant. You're not held culpable. Problem we do have to deal with, which I'm going to mention when we come along to, is that Rav Zvid and Amemar seem to have opposite opinions here, as they do there. Tosafot raises it and gives answers that are not so satisfactory. Rabbi Kiva Eiger makes some other suggestions about some answers that we'll discuss when we get there. The more important thing is that there's actually a Gemara in the end of Makot, in Chafal Chavbet. In the end of Makot, the Isser of Lo Takifu. The Isser not to cut off your sideburns, not to cut off the side of your hair. The Gemara over there says, Lo Takifu, Echara Makif, that both the person who does the cutting of the sideburn off, as well as the one who has his sideburn cut off, both are held culpable. The Gemara says, okay, what's the case here? What's the situation? So the Gemara says, well, it's a case where he does it to himself, maybe. And then it comes up with the last case is a case where someone else does it. He's chayav for cutting it off. So why is the person who's having his sideburn cut off, he didn't do anything? The Gemara says, he's misayaya. He moves the head, he makes the placement, he puts himself in a position where the person can cut it. Like when you go to the barber, the barber asks you, tilt this way, move your head so you can cut it. Because you made yourself accessible and helped, you're considered to be a misayeya and you are chayav. Over there, the Gemara seems to say, misayeya is chayav. So now we have a stira here in Shabbat, and in Beitza, the Gemara says, misayeya ain't bo mamash. Gemara in Makot says, misayeya yesh bo mamash. So how do you reconcile between these two? So the Ritva, actually, in Makot, gives two answers. The Ritva gives two possibilities about what the answer is. He says there's different types of misayeya. Qualitatively, there's different types of misayeya. Some misayeya is just a little help. a little bit of an extra, and that's considered to be nothing. Other misayeya is considered to be much more active and participatory. So therefore, he says over here, the opening and closing of your eye, over here where the guy is found at the end of the board, misayeya, he's barely doing anything. He's barely interacting, barely making any movement. On the other hand, by the cutting of the hair, where you make yourself accessible, when the barber, when you're cutting all the time, there, you really have to be involved in the process. If you tilt you out this way, the person's not going to be able to cut your hair. And therefore, he says that there's a qualitative difference in the misayeya between the Gemara Makot, the Gemara here and Beitza. That's one answer he gives. The other answer he gives, and the two answers are very important because they have huge nafkamino halacha, and it comes up in the halacha, which is, the other answer the Ritva gives is that there's a difference between what the Gemara is trying to accomplish here, what the Gemara is trying to accomplish there. Over here in the Gemara in Beitza, the Gemara is trying to make you culpable. The Gemara is trying to make you chayav in the Isser of Shabbat. So there the Gemara says, Misayaya ein bo mamash. When you do something like this, when you're just a little participant, you really do anything, that cannot make you culpable. On the other hand, in the Gemara Makot, what's the Gemara trying to find? It's not trying to find whether you're culpable. The Gemara asks a simple question over there. Okay, lo takifu is written in the plural. So therefore we say both the person who does it and the object on which it's done, the person on which it's done, are both chayavim, because there's lo takifu, echad makif, echad nikaf. The Gemara then asks, how can you make the person who had his sideburn cut off chayav? It's a lav she'im bo maise. The Gemara says, no, he's misayeya. He helped out. So there, the Gemara is not answering the question of why you're culpable. The Gemara is answering why it is a lav she'yesh bo maise. So the difference between the Gemara is what they're trying to get from you or what they're trying to accomplish. Our Gemara and the Gemara and Beitza are trying to accomplish to violate the Isur. Violating the Isur, misayeya can't help you for it. It can't make an Isur. Misayeya doesn't make something an Isur. On the other hand, the Gemara Makot already says you're in violation of the Isur. We know that. Question is, did you do a Maisa or not? There, Misayeya can be classified as a Maisa. Why does this make a difference? The answer comes up in two different places. It comes up, one where it's discussed explicitly, and another place where it's discussed more in the modern poskim as well. Which is, the one place where it comes up explicitly is a woman who is going to the mikveh. Woman is going to the mikveh on Friday night. Generally, the minhag of Am Yisrael is that the women, when they go to the mikveh, they cut their nails before they go into the mikveh. That is a chumrah, a minhag, that is a chumrah, because generally all they had to do was make sure that there was nothing under there, that it was clean. Even if there was stuff under there, it would only be an Isur d'Rabbanan. Nevertheless, the minhag is to cut off the nails. That is either because a minhag l'chumrah, to not worry about this issue, and to make sure that there's nothing there. The other possibility, there's a ravan. There's a ravan who says, actually, it's a din d'oraita, that you have to cut off your nails, because he says that anything that is going to be cut off, you look at it as if it is cut off already. And therefore it's a chatzitza because your nails eventually have to be cut. And since they're going to be cut and they are made for removal, therefore if you don't remove them, they are a chatzitza. That's a Ravan. He's a dat yachid, but as in many things in halacha, he's a dat yachid that everybody's choshish for. And therefore, that's another reason why the women cut their nails before they go into the mikveh. This woman showed up Friday night to go to the mikveh. She forgot to cut her nails. So now what do we do? Many of the poskim believe that if a woman entered the mikveh without cutting her nails, if she has yet to be together with her husband or go home, she has to cut her nails and go back into the mikveh. That's how strong this minhag is, and that's how much we're choshish for the ravan. So now we enter into Shabbat. This woman's coming to the mikveh, and she hasn't cut her nails. What are we going to do? What are we going to do for her? So the Taz says, not much that we can do for her. Tell her to clean her nails. Clean under the nails, that's the Ikar Halacha, and you'll be fine. Wait, what do you want to suggest? I know someone who paskined, and I think they're wrong, that they had a goy come in and cut her nails for her. Have the goy come in and do the cutting the nails. He says, that doesn't work. You know why that doesn't work? She's a misayaya. She has to put her fingers out, she has to help out, and she's a misayaya. What do you mean she's a misayaya? We just said here, misayaya ain't bo mamash. That's the Taz. That's number one. And number two is, he says the problem with cutting the nails might also be an isur. Yeah, right. There's a machloket coming up on tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf is Shabbat. You can mention this tomorrow when you learn the daf. That it says that if you cut your nails, you are chayav midoraita. Divrei HaKol, you're chayav midoraita. Tosafot right away says that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because it's a melacha she'ein tzricha d'gufa. Why was cutting done in the Mishkan? They sheared the sheep. Why did they shear the sheep? Because they wanted the wool. Over here, when you cut your nails, you don't want the nails. You want to remove the nails. So it's a melocha she'ain tzricha l'gufa. Therefore, Tosafot says that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, you definitely are patur of Allah Asur, because the melocha she'ain tzricha l'gufa. There's a shut harivash. The shut harivash, actually, that we brought up once before by Psik Reishe. There he discusses about brushing hair on Shabbat. and about the question of percentages or possibilities of what's considered psik reisha or not, over there he also mentions that maybe cutting the nails is not a melacha shein tzricha legufa. He says, because we found in the Mishkan that they also cut off the hair for the reasons of cleaning off the skins. They used to cut off the hair or remove the hair from the skins for the orat techashim that they made the covers for the Mishkan. And over there, they weren't shearing them or cutting off the hair for the hair itself. They were cutting off what he calls the yapot et haor, to make it nice. And therefore, here too, when people cut their nails, it's liyapot et yadav. It's to make your hands look nicer and to make it look better. So over here, liyapot et yadav would be a problem. The Taz says over here, that might enter a second possibility, which is the cutting of the nails with a kli might be an iser doraita. And if it's an iser doraita, then a mir lakum would not even help you. So therefore, the Taz rejects having a non-Jew do it and says she should just clean under her nails. The Shach and the Nekuta Tekesef says no way. He says that I'll tell you that the Taz is wrong on a number of levels. The first level is Misayaya ain't bo mamash. He says, what are you talking about? Misayaya has no meaning. If it has no meaning, then who cares that she's presenting her hands to the woman? That's number one. Number two is that cutting your nails is not an Isur Doraita, because of Tosafot. Everybody paskins, it's Rabbi Shimon, except for the Rambam. We'll get to later today. Except for the Rambam, everybody paskins that Rabbi Shimon, that Malach Shein Tzarech LeGufa is Paturin. And this is the case, Malach Shein Tzarech LeGufa. And what the Rivash said is incorrect. He rejects the Rishut the Rivash also. He says that that may be when you cut your nails, the Yapot, to make them pretty, then you could argue that it's a malach shetzricha de gufa. But here, she's not cutting her nails to make them look pretty. She's cutting her nails because she has to go to the mikveh. And so therefore, it's clearly not a case of malach shetzricha de gufa, even if you believe that the Rivash is right. He does mention the Ravan, who he says that he and the Ramban, paskin like this Ravan, that the cutting of the nails is an obligation, not just a chumrah, but an obligation because it's a chatzitza. And therefore, the Shach believes you must get a non-Jewish woman to come and cut the nails. He says, proverbially, she should pick them off or bite them off for you. But if she's not going to agree to it, she can do it with a kli, she can do it with the scissors. So based on that, the Shach says you definitely have to cut the nails before she goes into the mikveh. But their difference in opinion really relates to the answers of the Ritva over here about Misayaya. If you believe that there's qualitative differences in Misayaya, and that's the difference between the Gemara in Makot and the Gemara here, that's exactly what the Taz says. The Taz says when she presents her fingers and helps with the cutting of the nails, that's a significant Misayaya, and therefore she is Chayav. That's how he differentiates. He says, here Misayaya bo mamash, that's because he did nothing. He was just touching the board, doing something that wasn't necessary. Over there, without her presenting the fingers, you can't cut the nails. And therefore she considers to be a significant Misayaya, and that's why the Taz says you're Chayav. On the other hand, the Shach learns like the other answer in the Ritva. He says, wait a minute, Misayaya is always Patur. Ah, what about the Gemara Makot that says Misayaya is Chayav? Says over there, the Gemara knew he was Chayav already. They were just trying to determine if it's a Maisa or not. To do, just make it into a Maisa, yeah, Misayaya helps. Misayaya can't make you Chayav, and therefore you're Patur the Gamri, the Gabe Shabbat. So the Shach and the Taz actually end up arguing in these two reasons in the Ritva as to whether Misayaya applies in this case where the woman is having the Akum cut her nails going into the mikveh. That's one time where it presents itself. It also presents itself, for instance, by medical issues. They're about to discharge you from the hospital and they say, you know what, we just want to take a little blood before you go. So now you have to go stick out your arm, you have to present your finger, you have to be a participant to give the blood. Is taking your blood necessary? No. But they have to do it to make sure that they have all the counts before you leave and they can discharge you, so on and so forth. So it's not something that's medically necessary. It's not cholesh yesh bo sakana. It's a cholesh ein bo sakana. So does the amir la'akum help of here? It depends what you view in Misayaya. If you think Misayaya is always patur, no problem to take your blood on Shabbat, like the Shach says. Otherwise, if you hold like the Taz or the other answer in the Ritva, if you go to present your arm to give the blood, that's a significant Misayaya. If you're a significant Misayaya, it would be a problem on Shabbat. So that's also another nafkamina, all types of medical issues, where you, as the patient, have to somewhat participate. When you go into an MRI, you have to move this way, an X-ray, you have to shift your body. Where your Misayaya is considered somewhat significant, will be a nafkamina between these two reasons in Misayaya. Alright, so let's continue in the Gemara now. So, Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei Derava. Rav Zvid says over here, in the name of Rav, Afa Nami Tanina. We have a Mishnah that says the same thing, that Misayaya ain't bo mamash. Yosheva gabe amita, he's sitting on the bed. Va'arba taliot tachad ragle amita, and there's a talit under each one of the legs of the mita, tmeot. Each one of them is tamei, nei she'enu yechol amod al shalosh. No bed can stand up on three legs, and therefore every leg is necessary to be there. Since every leg is necessary to be there, every one of them is tamei, because now the zav sat on all of these talidot. Whereas Rabbi Shimon mitaher, Rabbi Shimon is mitaher over here. Now Rashi says this is Rabbi Shimon the tamei. Rabbi Shimon the tamei, that zeno yachol, but zeno yachol is patur. Or is Enu Kimisayaya, it doesn't work. And therefore over here too. Since over here, Zeno Chol, Zeno Yachol, it's still considered to be separate entities. That's what Rashi says. I thought right away that it seems strange in Rashi. And Tosafot picks up on it and says, I don't understand why Rashi thinks Rabbi Shimon thinks it's Lashitato. Rabbi Shimon says by Shabbat that Misayaya doesn't count. Zeno Yachol, Zeno Yachol is Patur, is Gzerat HaKotu. Gzerat HaKotu, Zeno Yachol, Zeno Yachol is Patur. Who says that over here that has any application? And Tosfot says over here, the reason Rabbi Shimon is poter is nothing to do with Shnaim Sarsu, Zeinuchol, Zeinuchol, but rather for a different reason. The reason is by Zav. In order for a Zav to make something Tamei, the robe of the Zav has to be on that item. And so over here, do you classify the robe of Zav being on these Talitot? Tanakam says yes, because without each of the legs, it wouldn't stay up the bed, and therefore each one of them independently is carrying the robe of Zav. But Rabbi Shimon says that's not really the case. The case is that there's only one Zav here. And it can't be that there's a rov azav on each one of the legs. There's a rov azav divided between the four legs. And because of that, he is not mitamei the talitot. So Tosafot says it's a totally different reason why Rav Shimon is mitamei here. Nothing connected to our Gemara. The important thing here to remember is that Rav Zvit is now bringing a proof that misayaya ain't bo mamash. Hayorochev agabe beima. If he was riding on top of an animal, vidale taliot tachat raglea beima, and you have four talitot, each one under one of the legs of the animal, tehorot, those are Torah, mipnei, shechol alamot, algimo, an animal can stand on three legs. Taliot are the same thing as talitot, so that an animal can stand on three legs. So therefore, each leg is considered to be a misayaya. That's what the Gemara says, v'amai, ha-misayaya, v'adei adadi. Each one of the legs is a contributing factor. Even though it could stand on three legs by itself, Eino Hachanami doesn't need the fourth leg. Each one of the legs you're going to look as the fourth leg. So La Mishum Darmina and Misayaya Bo Mamash must be because we believe that Misayaya Ein Bo Mamash. Now Tosafot over here says that this is a case where the animal is stationary and standing on all four legs. Because if it is walking and it lifts one of the legs, then we know for sure which one is the Misayaya and which legs are down on the ground. And those that are down on the ground are going to be mitamei. On the other hand, if it's stationary, you can see each one of the legs is that fourth leg. And since each one of them could have been the fourth leg, each leg is considered like a misayaya, and therefore no tuma over here. So that's his proof that he brings from the Mishnah in Zavin. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda midiskarta, I don't see a proof from that Mishnah. I'll tell you misayaya has substance to it. V'shani hocha. It's different. The akrila the gamre. It's very different. The animal over here can lift that leg up entirely. It's not misayay at all. An animal with three legs could walk. We know that unfortunately, if an animal has to have one of the legs amputated, it can still move around. It's capable of moving around. So here, it's not even misayaya. You can lift that leg up, and the animal would function normally. It came into zimnin de akra, ha? V'zimnin akra ha? V'avikizav ha-mitapech. And the reason that it's the horror over here is nothing to do with misayaya, but rather to do with this other din in Zav HaMitapech, a Zav that's rolling around, which we're going to get to in 1 second in the Mishnah. But because each leg could have been the leg that he takes off the ground entirely and does not bear any weight, that's why it's not Tamei over here, because nothing to do with Misayaya, it's because the leg isn't involved at all. It's like a Zav HaMitapech, Milo Tznan, don't we have a Mishnah in Zavin that says Zav, She'a Mutal Al Hei Safsalin O Hei Pundaot. He's lying across five benches, or five, seems to be these long money sacks, something like akin to a sleeping bag, but just doesn't have the soft stuff in it, laying across these items. Lit orkan tameim. I explain it like Rashi. Rashi says, if he lays on them lengthwise, they are tamei. L'rochban teorim. If he lays on along their width, then he's tor. The reason being, what we said before, that a zav to be mitamei, something has to have the robe of his weight or body on a single item. If he lays on them lengthwise, then he's on a single bench. And he's on that bench entirely. He's laying across the length of the bench. And it's carrying all of his weight, or majority of his weight. And therefore, it's tamei in that case. On the other hand, if he lies across the five benches, across the width of the five benches, no single bench is carrying his rove of his weight. So therefore, li'orkan there tameim, li'rochban teorim, yashan. If he fell asleep, safek mitapech aleihen. And we have a safek that he's rolling around on them. So we don't know what he did now, whether he laid across them the width or the length. Tmeim, that they are tamei. Allah mishum darmina misaya imbo mamash. Because misaya is not can be considered to do anything. So number one we see is zava mitapech, a zav that moves around if he gets onto all of the items that they are tamei. When we have a suffix by zavin, we say you are tamei. A zav, we have a suffix whether it was on this bench or that bench, then we say they are tameim if you lied across orkan, and that'd be the case over here. So I have no proof from your Mishnah about rochev al beima, there's no proof about misayaya. Because that's a different case. The reason that it's tahor over there is because you can lift the leg up entirely. Nothing to do with misaya. But I do have a proof over here from misaya and bomamash from the case where he's laying across the beds, we're laying across the benches, le rochbo. When he lays across them, across their width, we say that the benches are tahorim. Why? Because each bench is just misayaya. It's just helping to keep the zav up, but no single bench is holding up the entire zav. And that's why they are tohorim. So we see from that Mishnah that misayaya ain bo mamash. Rav Zvid tries to bring a proof from the four legs, the misayaya ain bo mamash. Because it's misayaya, all the talitot are tohorim under the legs, because no single leg is considered to be the leg where he's standing. Each one of them could have been the one that was the misayaya. Never is tohor. So then, Rabbi Yehuda Medistigra says, I don't agree with you, because we know by suffix zavin, if we have a suffix whether he did or didn't, you're tamei. So over here, you don't know which leg is the misayaya, and therefore you should be tamei. So he says the reason by the legs is not because of misayaya, but rather because akira. You can take that leg entirely off the ground. If you can take that entirely off the ground, the leg is completely unnecessary. It's not even misayaya. Right, so that's why he says they're all teorim, because it's not misayaya even. It's not even in the category of misayaya. It's as if the leg isn't on this talit. That's the way he views it, that you don't have the rova zav on any one of the talitot, because no leg is necessary over here. It's not misayaya, it's not necessary at all. The same Mishnah that he brings that says that safek zav should be tamei, you can't prove anything from the first Mishnah, the four-leg Mishnah. Nevertheless, it also says when you lay across the width of the benches, the Mishnah that he brings that disproved the first Mishnah also happens to prove that misayaya ain bo mamash. In the Mishnah, what's the reason that he's tahor when he lays across the width of the benches? It's because misayaya ain bo mamash.
Why is it that he could have removed any one of the benches? You don't need...
No, there he couldn't have stayed. If you moved any one of the benches, he wouldn't have been able to lay anymore. By the horse, if he took away one of the legs, he would have been able to stand. Alright. Amar Papi Yishmei the Rova. Afana Namitanina. We have another Mishnah that also says this. Rabbi Yossi Omer Hasus Mitamei Al Yadav. V'chamor Al Raglav. When it comes to a horse, it's mitamei on its four legs, and a chamor, a donkey, is mitamei on its hind legs. Shemishenet asus al yadav, because a horse uses its four legs to bear its weight, v'chamor al raglav, and a donkey uses its hind legs to bear the weight. And Rashi says, oh, what about the Mishnah before that says, dalet taliyot tachat raglei beima teorot? What about that? Why don't we say the same thing over here? Rabbi Yossi seems to say, if it's under the four legs, you're tamei. If it's under the hind legs of the chamor, you're tamei. What happened to that Mishnah before? He says, that's not Rabbi Yossi. Enochanami. Machlok between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama. The Tanakama is the author of that Mishnah before, Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi is the author of this position over here, and they do not agree. Tosafot says that he does not think that's right. He says that Rabbi Yossi does not agree with only with the Seifa. And that is because it's on the two legs. That if you put one single talit under the two legs, without the two legs, no animal can stand. So there's a difference in the case. The case before was talking about there's one talit under each leg, and therefore each leg is considered not necessary. Over here you have two legs. So if you have two legs and the talit is under those two legs, the two legs are necessary. But Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama and doesn't say it's any two legs. He says by the horse it has to be the four legs, and by the chamor it has to be the hind legs, because those are the weight-bearing legs. According to Tosafot, Rabbi Yossi is not disagreeing with what we said before. This is a totally different case, and that's why Rabbi Yossi says it. But what you see again is, there is this problem of misaya, which is amai. Why is it only the four legs or the hind legs by each of the cases? Amai, how come misaya ba'adah adadi? All the other legs are helping. Lab nishim damrinin, misaya ein bo mamash. Must be that we hold misaya ein bo mamash. Amar of Ashi, afanan tamitanina. We also have a Mishnah to support this. Rabbi Elazar Omer, raglo achat al akli, raglo achat al ritzpa. We have a Kohen. 1 foot, he's barefoot. Kohen has to be barefoot when he works in the Mikdash, and his feet have to be touching the ground. His 1 foot on the floor of the Mikdash, 1 foot up on a kli. Kli is a hefsek between him and the floor. So now, Roin, kol shilu yinatel akli, binitiradelo devin yechula modar gloachat avrutak shira. If he's standing on the ground and the kli, the question is, how much weight is being borne by the kli or the stone? How do we test it? Pull out the kli, pull out the stone. If he falls over, then we know that it's bearing his weight, and it's a chatzitza. On the other hand, if he doesn't fall over then all the weight's being borne by the leg that's on the ground, and there is no chatzitza over here. What are you talking about? Even if you say he pulls it out, he would still be standing. Nevertheless, it's still helping him at this time to remain standing. So why isn't it meseyeya? La mishum darina meseyeya ein bo mamash. Must be that we hold meseyeya ein bo mamash. Amravina, afanam namitanina. We also have a mishnah. Kibel biyamin ubismol. By a kohen who does avoda, a kohen may only do his avoda with the right hand. He has to be a righty kohen in order to be kosher the avoda. If he does it with his left hand, then it is pasul. So over here, he was mekabel the dam in his right hand, but he used his left hand to support it. Avodah kshera. It's considered to be kasher. Why is it kasher? Small is pasul for avodah. He should have to do it only in his right hand. The answer again, Ramaya come say about the adodi, the left hand is helping out here. La mishum darminan, meseyeya ain bo mamash, shmamina. You see over here that meseyeya ain bo mamash. So we have a list of proofs here that meseyeya ain bo mamash from different mishnayot throughout Shas. I pointed out to you before that Rav Zvid over here says, he brings up one of the proofs, that meseyeya ain bo mamash. Yet, Rav Zvid in the Gemara in Beitza is that meseyeya yesh bo mamash. So Tosafot says, oh, don't worry about it. The answer is over here. Rav Zvid is saying in the name of Rava. Over there, Rav Zvid is saying it himself. So Tosafot solves the problem in a difficult way by saying, oh, either they changed their mind, they learned their lesson, they're saying it over in someone else's name. But Rekiv Eger, on the other hand, differentiates between the cases and says that the Misayeya over here and there are different. The Misayeya by the eye, the opening and closing of the eye is absolutely necessary for doing the Kechol Einav. If you don't open and close your eye, there's going to be no ointment put into your eye. Over there, it may not be as extensive as the fingernails, because we still know the Ritva differentiated between those cases. But Akiva Yeager says, at least between the Messiah here, who's completely unnecessary, and the Messiah over there, who is necessary, there we can differentiate. And maybe that's why they have a different opinion. Rav Zvid have different opinions. Over here they say Messiah and Bo Mamash. Over there they say Messiah Yesh Bo Mamash, because they are necessary for the Melacha over there. So that's one possibility about how to differentiate. And he says the same the other way around. You can differentiate between that case and the case over here, because in the case by Kol Einav, you really didn't do anything. You didn't really participate in it. You were necessary, but you didn't do anything active. You just moved your eye up and down. Over here, the person's actually carrying the board. Even though he's completely unnecessary, he still did something. So you could differentiate between two cases. That's why maybe some of the Amoraim are saying in one case yes, in one case no. So that's how Rabbi Akiva Eger distinguishes between the cases. Now we continue in the Gemara. Amar Mar. Zeyachol v'zeyachol Rabbi Meir Mechayev. The girsa that we have in our Gemara is, if both of them are capable of doing it, Rabbi Meir is Mechayev, and now the Gemara asks a question. The truth is that this same question could have been asked on Rabbi Yehuda. On Rabbi Yehuda, Zeyno Yachol v'zeyno Yachol. If both of them are unable to accomplish it themselves, and they do it together, they're both culpable, the same question could have been asked on Rabbi Yehuda. The question is, why didn't the Gemara ask the question on Rabbi Yehuda? The Rach actually had a girsa. If you look, anybody has a regular Gemara. Sadi Dalet Amun Aleph, on the bottom there, in the wide lines of the Rach, he says, they ask the question now. What's the question? So he thinks that the girsa in the Gemara was Zeinu Yachol v'Zeinu Yachol. Tosafot says he's not willing to erase the girsaot in the Gemaras, and he wants to leave it the way it is, and that he thinks that the girsa of the Rach is somewhat problematic. And therefore he rejects the girsa of the Rach. He says, even though it's true in the end that we're going to learn from Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Yehuda, nevertheless the Gemara is focused on Rabbi Meir. And what is that? Ibailuhu, bein and shir lezeh v'shir lezeh, odum v'shir echad l'kulam. The question is, when you say that two people do something, does you have to have a significant shir on the malacha that each one of them accomplishes the malacha with the shiur? Or is one shiur sufficient between them in order to be culpable over here? So Rav Chista, Rav Amnuna, Chad Amar Shir Lezeh V'Shir Lezeh. One of them says each one of them needs a shiur. Chad Amar Shir Echad L'Kulan. One says that it's one shiur for all of them.
What does that mean?
If you have, for instance, carrying. Yeah. Carrying out. Do you need two grogerets for them to carry out together over here? Or a single grogeret? The capability of them carrying it is indifferent between one grogeret and two grogerets. Each one of them could have done it themselves. But now they do it together. When they do it together, do we demand that there's two grogerets there, a grogeret for each one of them, or a single grogeret between them is sufficient over here? So the Gemara says, Amar Papa Shmei Rava Af Ananna Mitanina. Now we're going to have a raft of Mishnayot, and they all prove one thing, that you only need one shiur. Familiar? It's a bed that has arba taliyot under each one of the legs of the bed. Tmeyot. Because he can't stand on three legs. To require rov azav for each leg that is there. That's exactly what Rabbi Shimon says. Shimon says you're patur because there isn't a zav for each leg. But the Tana Kama says you're chayav even with one zav there. La mishum derminim shirechad lukulam. Must be that there's a single shiur. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Af Anana Mitanina. We also have a Mishnah. Svi Shenichnas the Bite. It's a Mishnah coming up later in the Masechta on Daf Kufav. Deer goes into the house. V'nalachad bifanav. One guy goes and sits in the doorway, and he blocks the doorway. Chayav for tzeida. He's now trapped the deer inside the house. But now lushnaim. If two people sit there, they are pturim. Lo yachel echad din o. If the doorway is so wide that you need two of them to be there in order to lock the doorway or to block the doorway. To sit down, chayavim. Vamai, the bayar shir tzeda lezev shir tzeda zeh. They only trapped one animal. So you should have a shir tzeda for each of them. You don't have that. You only have one animal over there. Lav d'mishum d'armin and shir echad u'kulam. Must be because we say that you only need one shir between them. Over there, that mishnah is clearly authored by Rabbi Huda. Because it says zeinu yachol, v'zeinu yachol chayav. Then it says zeh yachol, v'zeh yachol patur. Shita Rabbi Huda is the author of that mishnah. And we prove from that that's a shir echad u'kulam. So Rashi says, we extrapolate. That's a din for Rabbi Yehuda, so too that's a din for Rabbi Meir. Problem Tosfot had with the Rach's Girsa is, we know what Rabbi Yehuda holds, because we have a Mishnah coming up. So how could Amoraim argue about what Rabbi Yehuda's position is, and that's why he rejects the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel. We have nothing explicit about Rabbi Meir, and that's why the Gemara asked it in Rabbi Meir's opinion. Even though it's true that the same question arises by Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Avina Avanav Namitanina, we have another Mishnah, Ashub Tafim. Shiganvu v'tavchu, that they stole and they shechted an animal chayavim. V'amai, libay shir tzvicha lezeh, v'shir tzvicha lezeh. Should require a shiur of shechita for this one, a shiur of shechita for that one. La mishum darmin and shir echad l'kulam, that you need a single shiur for each of them. That's what it says, the Gemara didn't ask about Geneva, because Geneva has no shiur. It's not exactly true, Geneva has a shiur of a pruta. But nevertheless, in terms of the shiur for Geneva, there is a shiur for both of them. The problem is by tzvicha, we can only shecht an animal once. And you have two partners that are in stealing, then you've only shecht once. Nevertheless, they're both held culpable in that case. Amar Rav Ashi, afanan namitanina. We also have another Mishnah. Shnaim shotzia kana shel gardi. Two people took out the staff of the weaver. Chayavin. Vamai, the bay shiro tzala zeh, v'shiro tzala zeh. La v'shim darmina and shir achad l'kulan. It must be because one shir is sufficient for both of them. Amar le Rav Acha brei de Rav le Rav Ashi. Dilma di'idbei g'dei levasho beitz akala. Talking about a staff, a piece of wood. Piece of wood, you can use it for firewood. If it has firewood, all you need is sufficient to cook an egg. Maybe the staff has enough to cook two eggs. And there is a shear for each one of them. Imkain, where I said, wait a minute, if that's the case, lishmain and kanadalma. Then it should just say any staff. Maishna de gardi. Why did it specifically say the staff of a weaver? So my says, well, dilma itbei g'dei larog mapalazeh, v'g'dei larog mapalazeh. Maybe there's enough in this weaver's shuttle for them each to do a weaving or to make a mat of some sort. From that mission we have no proof. Tana kameh Rav Nachman, they presented a brayta before Rav Nachman. Shaim shiltziu kaneh shel gardi. Two people who took out a kaneh shel gardi, turim. They are patur, Rabbi Shimon mechayev. Shimon is mechayev, he says, kalfei layo. Can't be. It's gotta be just the opposite. It makes no sense. El eima chayavin, that the Tana Kama says they're chayavin, which would be Rabbi Meir.
Or Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Shimon poter, and Rabbi Shimon is poter, because Rabbi Shimon says, shnayim she asu are always turim, even if it's zeinu yachol v'zeinu yachol, and then the Tana Kama will say over here that he is chayav. Now, we have a Mishnah here, we'll begin the Mishnah, and then we'll leave the rest off for to handle on Shabbat. Hamotzi ochlim pachot mikishior bikli. Person takes out food, but the food is less than the shiur required to be chayav, but he also takes out the utensil to carry it. The utensil is clearly big enough to be chayav for carrying, but he doesn't care about the utensil, he cares about the food. Patur afal kli. It pachot ni shiur, it's called the chatzi shiur, even though the kli is a full shiur over here. Shakli tfeilolo, because it's considered to be secondary to the food that you're carrying out. Et achai b'mita. If you take a live person out on a bed, patur afala mita. You're not only patur for carrying a live person, you're always patur for carrying a live person, because you're not considered to be carrying, because chai noset atzmo. He assists you in carrying of his body, and therefore you are always patur for carrying. But even if he's on a bed, nevertheless, you're also patur there, because the mita is feilolo. Again, the mita is secondary, is nullified to the person themselves, and it's as if you're carrying the person themselves. Et amet b'mita, carry out a niftar on a mita. There, now we don't have the mate helping you anymore. He's stationary, he's dead weight, literally. And therefore, when you carry it out, you're chayav on the mita as well. Chayin kazayit min amet, kazayit min anevela, kadashim min asheret. All these items that are significant in terms of tumah. So since you're going to remove them because of the tumah, you're chayav on all of them, even if you carry them on something else. Not only are you chayav for the tumah that you carry out, you're chayav for the object that you carry out with them. Shimon puter. Rabbi Shimon says you're patur in all of these cases. Why does Rabbi Shimon say you're patur? Melacha she'ein tzricha legufa. What's the melacha v'otzah is done? To move object from point A to point B. You want the object to get to point B, and that's what you did in the Mishkan. Over here, that's not the case. Machloket Rashi and Tosafot, why that's not the case. Rashi says it's not the case, because over here, you're doing something negative. What you want to do is misalek. Here you want to remove the item. You don't want to move the item to point B. You simply want to remove it from point A. And because of that, it's classified as Melacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa. On the other hand, Tosafot says it's classified as Melacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa, because Melacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is defined by the Mishkan. Whatever they did in the Mishkan defines the Melacha. If you don't do it like you did in the Mishkan, you haven't done the Melacha. And that is, in the Mishkan, they carried an object from point A to point B because they needed it at point B. They were bringing the donations to the Mishkan because they needed the donations where they were building the Mishkan. So they needed the object there. They did not take things out in the Mishkan to remove them from that area. So it doesn't mimic, it's not the paradigm that's set up by the Mishkan, and therefore it's considered the Melacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa. It's not necessarily a lot of nafkamino between them, but they do formulate it differently. The Melacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa going to Rashi is because it's formed in the negative. Tosafot says it has nothing to do with the negative or the positive, it has to do with the way it was done in the Mishkan. Tosafot presents problems for Rashi Shita with things like negative melachot. But we have melachot that are done soter, amanat, leave notes. And certain negative melachot, Tosafot brings questions because of that on Rashi. It's a long Tosafot on Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. Tarabanan, amotzi ochlim kishiur. First it takes out ochlim of the size. Imbikli, chayav al ochlim. If he took it on the kli, it's chayav on ochlim, patur al kli. It's patur for the kli. V'maya kli, tzarich lo. If he couldn't carry out the ochlim without the kli, it's a liquid. It's small items that he couldn't carry it all together without the kli. Chayav af al kli. There is chayav even on the kli. Question is, so what? You can only be chayav once. I mean, in terms of when you forget on Shabbat and Ve'el Machat, and you do a malacha, even if you do the same malacha twice, you're only chayav once. So even if you're culpable for the kli, why should it make a difference? You're already culpable for carrying out the food item. Why do you have to be culpable for the kli here? That's what Gemara says. Wait, so we know, choshnei zeite chelev b'chelem achad chayav shtayim. Based on what you're saying now, if in a single forgetting you ate two kazeitim worth of fats that are asur, you'd be chayav twice. Because that's what this is suggesting. So Mar says, I'm Rav Shesh, Rav Chamai Skinan, can go sheshagag ala ochlim, vesid ala kli. I swear, he was forgetting. He was a shogeg with regards to the food, but he's amazing with regards to the kli. So there are different chayav. One is chayav achatat, the other one is chayav mita. Different culpabilities over here. Matkila Ravashi, v'ha af ala kli. Tani, it doesn't fit the wording so well, because it says af ala kli. Af ala kli means also on the kli, meaning it's the same culpability that you had for the ochlim. Therefore, it seems to indicate that they're both the same. El Rav Ravashi is going to shugga bazel bazel. He's shugging on both of them. Venodalo, v'chazar venodalo. It's a case, you're right. He did it in one forgetting, but how he remembered it afterwards makes a difference. He found about one violation first, and then he found about the second violation. And this is a plug to Rabbi Yochanan ben Shimon Lakish. Same as the machlokah we saw earlier already in the Masechta, back in Daf Ayin Aleph, that we saw the machlokah between Rabbi Yochanan ben Shimon Lakish about what constitutes separation. What constitutes a division to make it a separate chiyuv chatat? So over there we had two possibilities of the formulation. One was Rabbi Yochanan says simply idea is enough. If you know about it, that's once you find out about it, then you become chayav chatat. If you find about the other one another time, that's two separate chataot. Reish Lakish says it's not enough. Yidiyah is not enough. You need yidiyah plus hafrasha. You have to actually separate out the chatat before it separates into two separate entities. But a different formulation of the machloket, which was even Rabbi Yochanan agrees yidiyah is not enough. Only after your mafrisha korban chatat for this isur can you not then use this chatat for another isur. And Reish Lakish says no. Until you mitkaper on this, then you can still join them together as a single entity, but if you're already mitkaper, then you can't join them together. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. This idea that Yechayav and Shtayim is a case where when you did it, you didn't know about either of them. You were shogeg on both of them. The question is, when you found out about them afterwards, that violation, how did you find out about the violation? You didn't find about them simultaneously. If you find about them simultaneously, everybody agrees, you bring one chatat. Question is, when you find out about them sequentially, then is that one chatat or two chatot? Depends on what you did in between, and it depends on this machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlo Lakish. And that's what the Gemara is after here, saying you're chayev shtayim. It'll make a difference in the prologue to forgetting when you find out about them, how many chatot are you chayav? Not saying that in one forgetting, if you do two violations, that you'll actually be chayav two chatot. Okay, stop over here.